think I might need to warm up a little bit.
With a nice nice warm glass of shut the fuck up.
Yeah, warm up with some shut the fuck up.
Boy, that was a fucking 25-year-old Ben Stiller joke. We're going to have to edit that shit out.
Fuck that. I'm editing this fucking vape into my lungs.
That's usually what I like to do, too.
See if I can get a good rip and fucking choke. All right.
Ripping carts.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. What the fuck? All right. Are we starting?
Are you able to breathe? Should I call for medical attention? Right there would be a great point to drop the fucking intro music.
Yep, that's what I'm gonna do. Oh, fuck. Good call. All within a minute.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Call for medical attention. Please.
It's so terrible. Welcome back to Problematic Cast, by the way. Sorry, I didn't see you there.
It's so terrible. Let's do the housekeeping.
That's part of the structure, man. The cold open starts with us just bullshitting, pretending like we're not even doing a podcast. So
yeah, you newcomers don't know, but there's a backlog. You should go check it out. Catch up, do the legwork.
That's Jeremy, and I'm whatever the fuck you want to call me. So,
is that what we're going with these days?
Because I'm trying to start a flame war. You remember the old school flame wars that used to happen on the internet?
Fucking right.
I mean, they've kind of just moved to Congress at this point, but I miss the old days where shit was just so fucking vile on the internet.
You can definitely still find that.
I know you can, but you gotta search it out, man.
Like early days
of eBay, you could like give somebody 5 stars and they'll DM you to go fuck yourself. You know what I mean?
On eBay?
Yeah.
Never had a reaction like that on eBay.
Before, there was a point in time where they allowed sellers to rate buyers. And then
do they not anymore?
No, that's something that went away years and years ago. I remember because I was kind of like, well, they shut that down, didn't it? Yeah, they straight up took away the ability for a seller to rate the buyer. So like if you fucked around and waited like 3 days to pay, they would call you all manner of things or they'd cancel the sale or whatever. And you'd get that would count against your rating for eBay back in the day. But now, like, if you buy something from somebody, you automatically win the game. It just increases your score, and there's no opportunity for you to be shown as, like, a negligent buyer or anything.
Participation trophy.
Yeah. It was around the time that they started handing out participation trophies in elementary school.
Oh, shit, dude. They've been doing that for fucking 40 years. I love how people are acting like that's a new thing. I remember getting participation ribbons for being garbage at track and field day and shit.
Seventh
place out of 6 players, you know?
I was going to say in the being straight competition, but I fucked it all up.
Got him. So,
Yeah.
What are we getting into today?
Oh man, I got to talk about this thing because I've been using it relentlessly on myself. It's called a Shock Clock 3. It's made by the company Pavlok. It's some free advertising for them. What it is it's a device that allows you to institute aversion therapy on yourself. So okay. I can shock myself at any given point in time with the touch of a button.
The key is you have to pull the trigger on it. It doesn't like neural net into your brain or anything.
Well, you can set alarms in the app and like shock yourself awake. So the past few mornings, that's what I've been doing to get up in the morning.
Okay. That's terrifying. How was that?
It feels like the first instance of a cigarette cherry touching your skin.
God.
When it shocks you, but it only lasts the, you know, a split second. It sure. Doesn't
like when we used to take fucking those long ass lighters apart to shock each other with the striker.
That's exactly what it is, but there's like two it's like a Fitbit with two fucking metal probe plates on the back that you have to like seat in and kind of keep the watch kind of tight. It's not even a watch, it's just literally a shock collar for humans.
That's fucking crazy. What are you trying to shock away?
Here's the another interesting part of I guess the thought process of it. Are you familiar with the term of non-suicidal self-injurious behavior?
Non-suicidal self-injurious, like cutters?
Well, like cutters, there's people who pick, like I dig at my skin to the point where like I dig holes into my skin, like the size of my finger.
I understand the concept then. Yeah, cutting would be the only one I really know of. I guess continuing to get up in the morning would be self-injurious, non-suicidal ideations or however you put it. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it would. That fits. But yeah, it's one of those things where like the system fails certain people of an atypical nature, you know, so where divergency kind of separates from the mainstream, like we're off in the woods ourselves. So you kind of have to self-treat and self-police with an informed consent understanding.
Yeah.
Like you can't go into it without experience of understanding behavioral patterns in people. You can't go at it. You have to literally clinically try to treat yourself.
Okay. Should the masses have access to that or
capitalism?
That's Timothy Leary shit.
Capitalism, my dude. That is exactly why this type of thing exists, is because there's certain bars that are set for social functionality. So if you can effectively acquire one of these devices, the law protects the sale of it because you're of sound enough mind to buy
it. To order it, yeah.
How fucked up is that?
That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. Self-made checks and balances, much like the watch itself.
Yeah. It.
Because if you're trying to motivate yourself with it or something, it's like, I'm being lazy, zap. You've got to actually have the wherewithal and the stick-to-itiveness, I guess, to fucking shock yourself, right?
Can I just say how much of a routine the ritual of shocking myself had become already within like a week of owning it? So like my brain jumps from task to task to task so fucking often. Yeah. And for me, it's kind of like a segue into the next random fucking like adventure that my brain wants to take me on.
You're speaking my language now. If you could make a hard stop and that's the punctuation mark, then maybe.
But here's the thing.
Okay.
it then becomes part of the routine of jumping around. So to look at it from an editing behavior standpoint, you're looking at, let's just use audio editing for an example. It's something we're both familiar with. Probably some people in the audience might be familiar with it. When you have a 4-second clip and you put it on the timeline, that clip is only 4 seconds. But if you butt that right up against itself and make an 8-second clip, you can't hear that transition.
Yeah.
Auditorily. Yeah. So if you take that second 4-second clip, that was kind of a fucked up way of saying that, but
right.
And put a 1-second pause in there, you're then looking at 9 whole seconds for the same 4-second piece of music. So it changes the timing. So when you work to edit behaviors that are negative, you have to put a time variation in there in order to stop the acceleration, because some behaviors go from 0 to 60. I've seen it, and it's fucking terrifying for the person experiencing the behavior and the people around them.
Right.
So if you could put a stop from 0 to 20, so there's like a plateau where, I guess some other self-regulatory tools are in there.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, it's kind of like building a machine.
Okay.
So you're placing these parts together to build a machine that emulates. Now, this is some deep fucking philosophical shit. You're putting together a machine that emulates what it experiences around it.
Yeah.
So a personality.
How in a essence. Real boy acts.
Yeah, like
boy/girl, whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, to reference Pinocchio in that very thing, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so behavioral modification to a point where you can build yourself from the ground up.
But, well, effectively, here's, I'm going to steal a lyric from Sleep Token. Bandage up the trenches.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the most beautiful ways I've ever heard it, I guess, said.
It sounds like Timothy Leary without LSD, if you're asking my opinion on it. Like, behavioral modification and, I mean, Crowley was all about that shit too, right?
Yeah, a lot of esoterica, in all honesty. I know I've mentioned Satanism in the last episode, but a lot of the basis of Satanism is exactly what I'm trying to clinically, I guess, verify or prove.
Yeah.
In a way that all things are just things until meaning is applied.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, once you shape the wood into a square to match the square hole that you're going to put it in, then it works.
Then it's a thing.
Then the round peg goes in the round hole once it's made round. So it builds upon axioms of rote mechanical stimuli. It's a similar in effect way that they've been training AI in understanding, I guess, the human structure of communication. The nuance, obviously, we covered this in the last episode, but the nuance isn't there yet. The nuance is the human esoteric part of the communication.
Yeah.
The part that when you apply enough passion of your own drive to something, it almost seems magical and it affects other people. It's how you... you know, as above, so below, from without, so within. I forget. Yeah. I've been trying to just info dumping.
Yeah, I get it. Oh, fuck. I feel even stupider than before now.
My bad. Me too.
Fucking. No. No, it's just like, Christ, I don't know anything about anything important, you know?
Honestly, I don't either. I just make shit up as I go.
I don't believe that at all. I don't believe it for a second. I feel like I'm smart until I start talking to you, and then it's like, fuck me.
That's what not my fault, man.
No, it's not.
No, I did. There's a religious practice called flagellation. It was very common in Christianity and other, I guess, religions in ancient civilizations, Romans, medieval Europe.
Yeah.
And
that's the whipping yourself, right?
Yeah. And it took so many different extreme forms as well. But like the more I read on that process, the more it almost makes me believe I'm doing the right thing to better myself in a divine way. And I'm not saying I'm trying to ascend to become Jesus, but I'm trying to connect more closely with the thing that connects everything else in the universe.
And so, you think that's via pain?
No, I think it's because every machine is built differently. And there's so many different ways. This is what I was learning from reading tarot, is that there's so many different ways that structures are built and systems interact with one another. So what works for one person isn't going to work for another person.
Okay. Yeah, I guess because there's only so many archetypes you could...
There's the, you know, the derivement from the major arcana to the minor arcana, like for fire to be earth, it just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? So something under a fire sign would be within a certain pyramid of containment.
Okay.
I'm just going on a fucking Crowley rant right now.
Golden Dawn time, baby.
Fuck yeah, man. It's Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn representing.
Fuck. Yeah, I think I need to get right with my brain first. Fuck.
Honestly, man, the more I just started doing that and learning how to reach the middle ground. It's not about highs, it's not about lows. It's the time in between those peaks and valleys that your true self exists in.
Okay.
So it's not only like emotional regulation, it's allowing the emotions to exist and processing them in an adequate enough time that they don't become repressed and cause damage that you then have to fix before you can learn more about yourself. So when you go through a state of depression and certain emotions stagnate for too long, it puts you in a state where it's harder and harder to get out of that emotional framework that, you know, it can last years for some people.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. Fuck.
Same.
Yeah, I feel like I'm trying to dig upwards lately, but fuck.
But fuck.
I don't feel like I got a lot of good input tonight. I'm sorry. I've been pretty fucking in a hole. I don't know how to fix that.
Cool, man. I like being able to info dump, and I know you're not going to fucking judge me and you're going to give some kind of direction.
Right.
Hopefully the audience doesn't take it in some way that they don't like us anymore.
It's all right. It's a work in progress.
Everything
we're
is.
We're trying to rebuild from rubble that we ourselves did. So
yeah, I guess putting things in the hands of Quetzalcoatl was different than taking it back and putting it in our hands for us to destroy the everything.
Yeah.
So you're much. Welcome.
I guess.
We came back to destroy everything.
Yeah, it's time to fucking rebuild to really destroy it this time.
Well, and honestly, like, I've been doing additionally, like, I do a lot of research on my own, man. And I was looking at, like, marketing tactics and self-advertising and all that stuff.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm building a plan to succeed or if I'm building a plan to have a tower to knock down, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, it makes sense.
So
I hope that's not the case, but I've had the same thought. It's like, well, who better to destroy it than us, you know?
Well, and I think that really, it's going to base off of audience interaction. So, like, anybody that hears this and wants to say a prayer for us or tell us to go get fucked, you can email us at the newly created thoughts and prayers at problematiccast.com. Yes, we now have our own email from our domain. We're not using, it's still Google, because Google owns half the planet. But
it's branded for us.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it's another step forward for us into legitimizing more than a lot of compatriots I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah. One episode and done forever. You're gonna have to take the good with the bad sometimes. Listen, I mean,
Jesus Christ, we took 3 years off and we're back at it and we still suck. So imagine if you were really good at this, what you could do if you just stuck with it.
Yeah. Sticking with it is the big thing, which we're every intention to do.
Man, that just turned from like really fucking. It wasn't even negative. It was just clinical to like very uplifting.
Yeah, we're going to stick to it. I have no intention of giving up, but God damn, I'm sucking right now.
Honestly, man, 80% of a job is showing up.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but
no, I'm not being rude. I'm not being dismissive. I'm just saying, like, there's times that I'm going to underperform. There's times that the audience is going to recognize that they themselves underperform in endeavors that they want to do better at. And we're all only fucking human, period.
Sure.
Like, yeah. No matter how mechanically we're structured in our thought processes and our behaviors, like, there is the just floppy fucking meat machine that we're inside.
Yeah. Yeah. But Christ, I'm acting like I got a pancreatic cancer fucking diagnosis or something.
You'd be the happiest motherfucker on the planet.
Would I?
Yeah, you probably would. It would at least change your perspective immediately.
You probably would know that something was up because I'd be acting different for sure.
Yeah, because you'd be living like you were dying.
Oh my God. Gotta love that.
God, I hate country music. I will listen to mumble rap before I listen to country music.
Yeah,
I love hip hop. Mumble rap is not hip hop.
I can't make country resonate with me at all.
No, same, dude. It just doesn't work for me. Like, I don't care about my lawnmower. Like, I'll replace it if I have to. There's plenty of dogs at the pound that
lawnmower
need adopted.
Hell. Lawnmower hell, I don't give a fuck about my lawn. Let it burn, man. I don't care.
Humans can't like, technically own anything anyway, man. One of those type of things.
Jesus Christ. Yep, that's true. You can't own the earth, man. Fuck. So what does ChatGPT say I should discuss right now?
Oh, fuck. Now you're putting me on the spot.
Oh, I thought you had something prepped.
All of the points that I made, I derived from ChatGPT.
Oh.
No, I'm lying. I'm totally lying, dude. That comes from years of experience in mental health field, IDD field.
Yeah. Mental.
And also, I've always studied religion. Like, when I was a senior in high school, I did some placement tests for college. I either wanted to be a theology major or a philosophy professor. Like, that's what I wanted to do with my future. And I tested great. They told me I could do it. I just changed my mind immediately after getting the results. And okay.
What do you think the long-term effects of cortisol overdosing daily would be? Because if you're in fight or flight for like months at a time, it can't be good for you.
That dude, that's how PTSD is derived. That's exactly how PTSD is made. When a system, a human body system, experiences that extreme burst of all the shit that happens when that mode kicks in.
Right.
It physically traumatizes the brain in certain areas.
Okay. So essentially, if the stimuli were to die off, it was supposed to just stop. At that point, would you withdraw from the cortisol, you think? I mean, I know it's not like a medicine you're taking or something, but if your brain is used to running at fucking a million miles an hour because it's just been fight or flight.
Well, here's like, another way of looking at that. Anxiety.
Yeah.
Anxiety is the mental stimulus without the physical stimulus, sometimes the physical stimulus. But when the physical stimulus is there, it's called panic instead of anxiety.
Right.
So when you have an anxiety attack, it's mental overload. When you have a panic attack, it's both physical and mental.
Yeah.
So people who are recovering from anxiety disorders, panic disorders, will then themselves seek other ways of getting that as a behavioral routine.
Okay.
So there, sometimes it derives into like antisocial behaviors, like lying, stealing, murder, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But I mean, those are in like noteworthy cases. On the general user type stuff, like impulse buying, sleeping in too much, staying up too late, you know, little self-destructive things that may throw a wrench in the day-to-day routine, like those little cursors start happening more and more. I mean, I'm by no means an educated professional, so I guess I need to disclaim that a lot of this conversation with that fact and that, like,
you're just having a conversation with me. We're not trying to treat anybody, but like, I don't know, man. I over the course of the last couple months have had a couple panic attacks. That the first time, literally, like, I wouldn't say I was dismissive of the term panic attack, but I had no goddamn idea what that really feels like until a couple months ago. And I literally, I didn't know if I was having a heart attack. I didn't know if I was about to have a stroke, like in fucking sanity. It just took over. And it's like, you know, you try to, you do the meditation shit, the think in the moment, not anything before or after.
Survival mode. Yeah, survival mode. Yeah.
My God, like, that's key information that it's like, yes, the job I'm in right now, I need to get away from. But
the only real way
in between,
the only real way to, I guess, stop the waxing and waning of that cortisol overload to depletement, like where that stimulus isn't there and, you know, the high stress, high energy need to perform, like the only way to do that is to pull it away, remove it.
Right.
And like you're saying, like that's just for most people, that's not a thing. Like if your job is causing you stress to the point where you have panic attacks and you get hospitalized twice in like a 2-week period of time.
Yeah.
Like yeah, I did would... earlier this year.
Right.
Like that was, so I fully understand what you're saying. And to be honest,
you tell yourself you need the fucking job and everything. And I mean, to a point you do, but it's like, I was looking when I found that job and it's just comfort or my autistic aversion to change or something that I stick around because it's just,
well,
oh my God, the cons far outweigh the pros. And it's just, my God, like panic attacks at work. What the fuck, man? Like
here's a deep cut. It's the strings of the puppet master.
God, that's
the way that the system is built and the system is structured almost forces, for survival purposes, these states where your body just is going into overload, panic attacks, you know, the rampant sicknesses and the slow adaptations to these things, lack of sleep, all the different mental health things. I mean, like, I was just seeing on the news earlier, like, there's a dude that went fucking ballistic and shot like 18 plus people, well, killed 18 plus, wounded like 40 some.
Last and then he night, just, you mean?
Yeah, and then he just disappeared.
They have haven't found him yet?
They have no fucking idea where he's at.
Huh. I was awake seeing it. Well, the manhunt and everything. Like,
yeah,
minutes after it must have just ended and everything. And it's like, he won't get away long. What the fuck? I didn't realize he was still at large.
And I'm not victim blaming, I'm not even victim mentioning, I'm not glorifying, you know, this killer or anything. Like, I kind of just wanted to make that as a statement, as an aside to the conversation that we were having as far as how disturbed this system can make some people.
Right.
Like the guy was probably, well, they said on the news that he was deeply affected by sensory overload due to schizophrenic tendencies. Like, they didn't throw full diagnoses out or anything. But the slaves were never set free. They just had to put on different collars, man.
We're just wearing different costumes anymore. We're, man.
Yeah, like they realized very quickly after the white slave owner driven economy changed at the end of the Civil War. The Industrial Revolution was literally right around the fucking corner for that. Think about the time that it has been since the Y2K boom and now. It's pretty much almost exactly the same as the time from the end of slavery till the Industrial Revolution.
Right, right.
So at the Industrial Revolution, capitalism made its fucking, like, skyrocketing debut back from a 3-year hiatus.
Hmm. So, man, that's almost Nostradamus level prophecy. What comes next? Are we truly in the late stages of actual capitalism? Is it about to implode on us? Because
according to
money, and I can barely fucking get by, you know what I mean?
You remember last week how I was talking about that really boring, you know, economic thing that I watched on YouTube as opposed to working?
Yeah.
One of the things that the data that they conveyed in this documentary was the rise and fall of nations is graphable. They took all these data points and they graphed the shit, and it's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
How close, mathematically speaking, according to these people's figures, the current world power structure is to imploding.
Yeah.
Mathematically speaking, from all the data that they got, I mean, this was a billionaire that was hiring the best in their field to gather these data things and paying people to sit around and get stoned and talk about this shit.
Yeah.
And this is what they came up with, man. We are extremely, and now I'm not being a doomsayer when I say this. This is, you know, 21st century science is God. And this is effectively God speaking to us.
Yeah.
In a sense that our smartest and our brightest are finding that shit is fucked. And it doesn't even matter.
That's the nihilism. And yeah. Does it? Does anything matter? I feel like...
Does it really matter, Sarah? Does it?
Putting myself into crisis mode a lot of times does help me see the silver lining, but that's no way to live. Do you know what I mean?
I do, because I'm currently shocking myself right now just to replenish some of the energy that I spent thinking as hard as I just did.
Love it. Oh, shit.
But yeah, man, I haven't had the video up in a while. Oh, I'm still on camera. What the hell?
What the hell?
What the hell?
What the hell? Oh my God. Shit, I forgot to tell you we're being recorded.
Oh no. Is that part of the legal ramifications of communicating with anyone now?
I don't know. I think it's part of my shtick. It's at the top of the screen every time I record, and I gotta tell every time.
It's at the top of my screen.
It's a bunch of fucking nonsense. Like, okay, I'm gonna really get some court admissible footage now or something. What the fuck?
I was just thinking, here's another fucking hot take for the day. Like, when World War... Somebody history buff's going to fucking destroy me on this one. But like when one of the world wars ended, they went over to Geneva and, you know, had a convention and they made a whole bunch of laws about war and shit. So when the pandemic happened, the whole world shifted to remote everything.
Yeah.
So like this is just as legitimate of a meeting officially in billion-dollar business deals as sitting down with somebody in person.
Right.
So who's the fucking lawyer that's like sitting down with some other lawyers writing the laws on whether or not you have to tell me that's recording, or the company that built the app has to tell you that this is recording?
God, that's very niche. I don't... Why are you thinking about that?
I deal with this all day long, dude. For real. That's all day long. That's what my brain does to me.
Oh my God. So you're feeling empathy for some supposed lawyer that's writing. Okay.
No,
sorry. Sorry I for think your loss. Jesus. My fucking brain. My brain just does closed loops of the same thoughts and worries, like 40 fucking second clips over and over all day. Pretty fun. I drown that out with video games a lot, but
that's fun. That really does sound fun, because like that amount of hyper focus would, I would be the most productive person on the fucking planet if I could hyper focus.
It's like shotgun pellets, though. It's just fucking thoughts and clips of thoughts and shit that just making fucking Ouroboros in my goddamn brain, just eating itself. It doesn't have to make sense. It's just goddamn, again, the cortisol.
So it's like one of Rob Zombie's fucking animated music videos for White Zombie music back in the day.
Pretty much just clips of shit that was in the public domain.
Honestly, that sounds like the need for psilocybin.
Me?
Yeah. Clinically. I mean, and now one of the coolest documentaries that I've ever watched. I don't even remember the name of it. I just remembered some of the details in it. It was all about mushrooms and how to change your mind. Is that that was the documentary, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
That documentary was fucking incredible.
Where it had people, was it, wasn't mescaline, it was, or,
it was psilocybin.
Ayahuasca. They had psilocybin, they had LSD, they had, the one I'm talking about, how to change your mind, psilocybin, LSD, ayahuasca.
That would be DMT.
Yeah. Something. But, I didn't realize how, ayahuasca, you can't like get it. You just can't get it. It's like one little patch of ground in the world it'll grow on, and it's like religiously just
revered. It is the holy land for the shamans of the jungle, man.
Yeah. And I was gonna say, you can't get your hands on it. If you did, there was some shady dealings going down.
There was another documentary that relates directly to this. I think it was called The Last Shaman. It was about a guy who had terminally untreatable depression. Okay. He had gone through over a decade of clinical treatment, intensive shit, electroshock therapy and all this. He went to the jungle and lived amongst the shamans and did ayahuasca like it was his fucking job.
Okay, because it essentially was at that point.
The spirits gave the method of making ayahuasca tea to the shamans in the jungle.
Yeah.
And that, for a person like me, or you, or maybe some of the listeners, makes total fucking sense.
Yeah.
Because it's provable that it only grows in that one spot.
Yeah.
It's provable that most people don't even understand how to process it because it's a two-part concoction that they make.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they take part of one plant, part of another plant, different. It's old school fucking alchemy, dude.
Yeah, that I was going to say, that isn't even chemistry at that point.
It's jungle alchemy.
Jungle alchemy. I like
yeah,
that.
Dude.
That's the episode title.
Better than electric flagellation, because that was good. That was my suggested name.
Jungle alchemy sounds badass.
Jungle alchemy sounds like somewhere I want to fucking be every day.
Yeah, be better. Oh, but it will get better. I just keep holding my brain out for that. Just a little self check in. I know I have a right inguinal hernia, but I gotta get fixed. I got the left done like 2.5 years ago. I got appointment a couple days ago. I got an appointment there to go to an appointment to get an appointment to get appointment to get cut. So sometime between now and the end of the year, I'm probably going to get cut. So that's fuck yeah.
Privatized healthcare.
Oh, and on top of that, just saying the shit like the cortisol, the always being tired, blah, 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 blah. I think I have sleep apnea, and I don't know if you've ever priced a CPAP machine, but them motherfuckers are ridiculous.
I had a sleep study done on myself earlier this year because, you know, to kind of go back to the multiple hospitalizations for panic attacks, I was having extreme difficulty sleeping. I would stop breathing. I would feel like I'd stop breathing and, you know, went through the whole process. That is also a side effect of, I mean, I'm not saying don't go get tested,
Sure.
but don't be incredibly surprised if your results come back that you do not have sleep apnea.
Okay. So what's the next pathway from there? That's just PTSD driven from
That's
cortisol, stress, and anxiety, all that shit.
this is going to sound really
Cut
different
out the
of
cancer and maybe I'll be better.
this is going to sound really different of me over the last many years, but you got to do esoteric surgery. There are things behind the veil that need mended or changed or just open a valve. The water, man, it's I don't know what it's been lately about an understanding of how water has formed the mountains in the Appalachian region, for instance. How it Bruce Lee, be like water. You know what I mean? Like sometimes there isn't going to be a cure if your soul is sick.
I'd like to hope so. 'Cause I feel like it is, and I'm really bringing down the whole room, but it's like
No,
I can't
man.
fucking help myself, you know?
Honestly, like this isn't an intervention. This is just two siblings talking to one another, and maybe somebody else can hear this and learn something. But it's getting to the point where you understand that there is something wrong that is honestly the most important part of the journey. Because from there, man, all you have is up. You know what I mean? You're gonna have setbacks. You're gonna have shit that just some days, some weeks that are gonna fucking suck, man. But at that very core moment, when you truly just dedicate your passion to, I don't know, I only got angry twice today instead of three times. Or, you know, I didn't, you know, anything, man, anything. What accumulates negativity in you? Or, I guess negativity that you harbor from work or.
I guess that for me, the part I need to do is like get the release valve and figure out the output for that, because I've gotten really good at bottling it and suffering in silence and shit, and I gotta get it the fuck out. You know what I mean?
Socially, men have to. That is a burden that is put on men socially, that they are exactly the same emotional creatures. They're just mechanically a little bit different. Like there's just a little variation. Their emotions happen to all configurations of people, but socially, there's chains around the male where they're not allowed to express that or process it externally because of the fucking machine, man.
The stigma of it
Well,
all.
the stigma and the machine, like men have always, you know, historically had always been what I'm not going to go into a fucking patriarchy rant, but it's incredibly difficult for males emotionally in society. And I don't think enough attention, it's been better socially lately, you know, within the last 10 years. But there's still a long way to go before there is some harmony in that.
Yeah, I agree. It's better. It's gotten better. I mean, it's not as stigmatized anymore, but it's still, I don't know, nobody wants to go on a podcast listened to by tens of people. And
Sing, we're up to single digits this past week.
fuck it. We'll get it.
Well, honestly,
We'll
dude,
get
I
it back.
just
Nobody knows we're back.
Nobody knows we're back because they haven't seen us like the smokestacks that rose in Birmingham in like 1890 when they started building cars and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
For those of you who don't get it, that was a Peaky Blinders reference. And that was actually like the 1920s, but...
And oddly enough, I live in Birmingham, so... Not the same Birmingham, but...
not quite the same. There's a private girls' school in Birmingham. Not a vehicle plant.
Not the same at all. I don't know. We're at about 50 minutes of Jer-Bear being the most depressing he's ever been, and I apologize, but...
You don't gotta apologize.
Do we have any bookends for this? Like,
The email that I said about before. Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers at problematicast.com.
Hell yeah. There's also...
I'm sorry. You can get a hold of there and tell me to suck it up, Buttercup, or whatever. I'm probably not going to see it. So.
Be sure I'm going to forward every email to you.
Fine. Do it. Send them all.
Put your personal email up on the website, bitch.
Tell your friends.
I don't want to name drop, but we're going to post this on Instagram. Matt Rife has a tour coming up called Problematic with two T's, but still. I want to try to get him on the show. So, I think everybody that listens to this should at him.
If it's months from now.
Yeah, even if it's like 5 years down the road and like he doesn't do comedy anymore because he cured cancer with his humongous head. I don't know. His brain is so big. No, I'm not. I'm just playing. At him, please. In like try to get him on the show because like we did the Johnny Resnick thing years ago. I would love to get somebody on the show that's famous. And this I think is an honestly good shot because it's so close to his tour name.
Yeah. Next would be Ben Kissel.
Honestly, I didn't look very hard, and this goes back to the unrecorded conversation that we had about like what the fuck the conductor actually does in an orchestra, but
yeah,
I didn't put enough research into figuring out why he got canceled. So if you hear this, Ben Kissel, would love to have you.
I'm not going to dig too much. I'd like to hear his side of it through his words.
Well, I mean, there's always two sides to every story.
This is the problematic cast.
It is, in fact.
If we can't open arms problematic people, I mean, let's get Marilyn Manson on here.
Yeah. The way I look at it, man, I've worked with a lot of troubled people over the years, and it's really destigmatized the bad shit that some people do.
Yeah.
And maybe that's bad on my part.
Well.
But it's certainly humanized. I've humanized a lot more people than I've dehumanized from my work over the last few years.
Well, that's good. That's a net win, in my opinion. Piercing the veil, as you said, like there's a human being behind every fucking Dahmer was a human being,
And his story was quite sad up till the point where he started murdering people and eating them.
I think his was the most sad that I know of. I'm sure there's some unknown that's equally sad, but it's pretty depressing.
The existence of it all, of such a mechanism as a serial killer, it doesn't exist in human or in nature.
Right.
Animals kill one another, yes, but Let's just, for the sake of argument, say that people who murder other people have mechanical defect that they have themselves no real control over.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a subconscious behavioral routine. Like, I pick at my skin a lot. They're trying to better themselves in a way. Because a lot of the stories, when you read the detailed backstory of some of the reasons why killers did the shit they did, some of the, like, mercy killers.
Yeah.
Angels of death type people. Like, they, in their own being, believe they're doing some benefit to ending the mortal shell of their victims.
Yeah. I think that happens more than we realize. This has been a pretty low one, I'm sorry.
I just had Metallica's Disposable Heroes start playing in my head.
Back to the front.
Back to the front!
Oh, well, I'm going to wrap it so I can work on myself, I guess.
Nah, man, please don't take anything I said as, like, me dogging on you.
I'm not at all. No, I've been thinking. I've been doing meditation. I've been doing, like, all kinds of shit. I don't know. I just got to find first gear. And it's coming, I think. Until then, I'll probably just pound sand. I don't know.
I think until then, you should just pound sand.
Yeah, or pretty much.
Just so you don't breathe dirt.
Just, I'm not going to do that. We'll see you next time.
Later.